If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And I think that many of us have an unhealthy view of our father, especially when it comes to death. When my mother died, I went home and I prayed, and I felt responsible because I had to turn off the life support machine. Satan would tempt my mind and tell me the police were coming to arrest me for murder. I went to God and I said, Lord, why did you take her when I prayed and I prayed and I prayed? He said, it wasn't between you and me. She wanted to come home. And I was done with it because mama wanted to go home. And God was gracious enough to let her go. So I didn't have to make peace with God. I had to make peace with mama. She wanted to leave me. But knowing her protection, she wouldn't have left me if she didn't know I wouldn't have been all right. And when God brought her into his presence, he said, Mother. I met Mother in the King of Prussia Mall with her daughter. And we connected in a way I was uncomfortable with because nobody else was my mama. And then God sent her here. I said, I brought that mama home. Now I'm giving you another one. And then he gave me a family. Whatever losses I may have had, he has given me great pluses. Tell somebody, you're not alone. You're part of a family. When my mama was alive, mama would bake sweet potato pies. Back when I was younger, she'd always call up and say, I have one for you. She would never make one sweet potato pie. Somebody would call her and say, Mother, can you make a sweet potato pie? She'd say, yes. And she would make it for them, but she always made me one. And I always had my own. And I never even shared it with my family. Sometimes they didn't even know. She would have to ask them later, did you get a piece of that pie? They said, we ain't even heard of no pie. Like Paul would tell the church at Ephesus, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we ain't never heard of no Holy Ghost. And she would ask them, did y'all get a piece of that pie? They say, we didn't even know you made pie. A lot of instances, I'd eat it in the car. I'd get them family slices. It was my birthright. She would bake cakes, and she would make my favorites. And the favorite for me would be put aside. Y'all don't touch that cake. That's my baby's cake. Because it was part of my experience. You see, we walk into church, and we're uncertain as to what God is going to do. Because we are not clear in our family status. Daddy would pack us up and take us to our Jamaican family. And when he would take us, he would tell my brother and I, we would be in the back seat. And he would say to us, he said, now my Uncle Arnold was like the patriarch of that side of the family. And Uncle Arnold spoke with a very heavy accent. And we couldn't understand him. And so Daddy would say, you don't need to understand him, just nod. Just say yes. And so my brother and I, whenever we got there, and Uncle Arnold would go off in the Jamaican talk, and we would just say, mm-hmm. Why? Because Aunt Irene was in the kitchen. And if Aunt Irene was in the kitchen, we didn't care what Uncle Arnold said. She'd bring out the curry goat. She'd bring the goat out. She'd bring the jerk chicken that made your nose run until Jesus came. You had to unleash a dog to chase it. Rice and peas, coconut drops, plantain, make you want to speak in tongues. But those were the benefits. Whenever Daddy drove up and we would get out the car, that was the benefits of the family. Recently, we ran into our cousin on that side, and she had us all come over for dinner. And Patsy cooked like Aunt Irene. Lord, have mercy. Bible said I'm not supposed to take his name in vain. Forgive me. But Patsy cooked and cooked and cooked. Because that was our birthright. Because we're family. Healing is your birthright. You shouldn't be surprised when God heals you. You ought to expect God to heal you. You ought to expect deliverance. It's your birthright. I kid you not. I'm not trying to preach no more fancy sermons. I'm not trying to do anything sophisticated. I want power. I want the devil to come in, but humans that are delivered walking out. I want you to come in bound, believe free. I want you to come in oppressed, believe delivered. I want power. Like Moses in Exodus 33, God, if your presence isn't here, shut this place down. If your power doesn't show up, don't let anybody come in this building. I don't want them coming in seeing Lambert. I want them to come in and see Jesus. I want them to praise Jesus. 1 John chapter 3. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. John is not preaching total sinlessness. What he's saying is your desires are not sinful if you're born of God. But the operative phrases there are born and seed. Born and seed. That speaks to family. Born and then seed. That speaks to a spiritual connection that's beyond you. In other words, the genetics of God reside in you. It means that you now have the capacity, the potential, the enormity, the credibility, the genius, if you will, to think like God. When one thinks like God, they speak like God. And they walk in the miraculous. The problem with most of us in the 21st century is we think like humans, therefore we speak like humans, and we walk in human curse. We curse ourselves with the words that come out of our mouths. I can't make it. I don't know what to do. Life is so hard. It's so frustrating. I don't know why things are going the way they're going. No! Listen to what he says. His seed. That word seed is the Greek word sperma. That means God's DNA reside in us. Think about that. You operate in a very strange place. It says that his seed remains in you because you are born of God. It's an interesting concept that John is delivering. That we are born of God makes us part of his family. That speaks to your spiritual resuscitation. Because you are spiritually dead, God put his seed in you and sparked you to life. But he does something interesting that countermands the seed injection. Romans chapter 8, there is a injection of God's seed, which means you have the capability, the potential to act like God based on seed. Now watch. I have my natural daughter who is born of me and her mother. She has my seed, which means if we took a blood test, it would match the 32 pairs of DNA would match. She possesses the ability to be like me through the seed. Mama just carried her. No insult, but she was the deliverer. Okay? Now I have a godson who spent significant time with us. And in many instances, he acts like me, but he doesn't have my DNA. There is DNA behavior that cannot be refuted. Then there is adoptive behavior that's drafted. And because he spent so much time with me in his formative years that he can't help but default to that behavior, even though he doesn't have my seed. One day he went to the store and he purchased some items for his family. And I asked him, he asked me for some money. I was taking him to school. And he said, Dad, do you have $10? I said, I already gave you your allowance. He said, well, I had to buy some toilet paper and some paper towels and some stuff for the house. And he paused and said, that's what you taught me as the man of the house. I'm supposed to take care of things. I gave him twice as much as he asked for. He emulated what an adoptive son saw. You possess both characteristics. You are infused with seed, which makes you born. But Paul says in Romans 8, you were adopted. So in other words, you don't have an excuse for improper behavior. When your genetics fail, the adoptive, the exposure kicks in. That means I've been around enough Christians that I know how to act. And when that doesn't work, if the Christians that I've associated with begin to act like park apes, then I have the DNA that tells me how to act. So therefore, you are without excuse. And so Paul writes in this great discourse of information. He says here in Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit, verse 14, they are sons, not children. Not children. He uses the term son. The sons speak of maturity. He doesn't use the Greek word for child, undisciplined, tot. He says we are sons, mature, which means, number one, we don't carry our feelings on our sleeve. We're not easily offended. You see, at a certain age, when my parents would physically chastise me, they didn't get the response of that 8-year-old. At 8, you fall, I can't go out, I ain't going to eat. I actually hid myself in the closet and pulled the door shut. I was 10 years old. They told me I couldn't go on Van Pelt Street. I went in the closet and closed the door. I'll show them. But I had one thing that I didn't count on, an older brother. And he came and put a chair under the knob. I said, if you want to stay in there, then by God, stay. So when I got through pouting, I'm pushing the door, and it wouldn't open. I'm screaming. And mama came and moved the chair, and my brother's on the bed laughing. And here's what my mother said when she moved the chair and pulled the door open. She said, I bet you won't go in there no more. I said, I guess I won't. And that's what God is saying. Every time we pout, the devil pulls that chair and isolates you from your family. So stop pouting. The point is, as you mature, you're no longer stopped by the behavior of others. That's why we are sons of God. Only God can make women sons, and you don't lose your femininity. Listen to Paul. For as many as are led, directed by the Spirit of God, they're the mature ones.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11215P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.